Okay, tonight I want to break some new ground, at least for me. But I just want to, first of all, recapture the context of this whole series, what we're trying to do here. Because what we're trying to accomplish in this series is quite different from most of the things that I'm typically used to listening to or used to presenting. Typically, a Yom Tov-oriented presentation is a collection of valuable insights into the Yom Tov, where we see new levels of depth or new levels of meaning, new levels of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to say or what message we're supposed to get, and so on and so forth. What often is missing for me is, okay, that's great. It's really great. It really is. I mean, not sarcastically, it's really great. But what does that do for me? In what way am I, as an Eved Hashem, supposed to take action? What am I supposed to do now, today, so that I can actually live into this new concept, this new insight? How does it make a difference to me? And Hanukkah is particularly defined for me with that problem, because Hanukkah is this very difficult Yom Tov to observe. You don't get dressed up for Shabbos. You don't have a dramatically different davening. There's no Isser Malacha. You go about your daily business. You have the same schedule that you have on any other day. Other than you somehow get interrupted from your daily life by the obligation to light the menorah at some reasonable time at night, hopefully at the ideal time. And you have to remember to say Al HaNisim. And you say Hallel, depending on which minyan you're at, for 3 minutes or for 7 minutes. And that's it. And then that's it. And then all of a sudden it's the eighth day, and for a couple of seconds you look at the menorah and you go, wow, that's a beautiful menorah. 8 candles, and wasn't that nice? And then what? So in what way have we been changed? And it seems to me that Hanukkah particularly suffers because it comes at a time of year while we live in Golis, when we're surrounded by a trivialization of their trivial Yom Tov. Okay, so it was trivial when it started, and then that is already trivialized into something which is beyond meaningless. And then they take that meaninglessness and try to tell us that we have the equivalent holiday, except we do it a little bit differently. We have a Christmas menorah as opposed to Chas Shalom, and so on and so forth. So the mindset is like that. And yet Hanukkah is replete with all kinds of holy messages and all kinds of divine intentions. And if it is true, as we said before, that Chazal, when they establish a Yom Tov for the specific purpose of arming us with the tools to get through the experience of exile till we get back to Yomim HaKadmonim, to the days of ideal Jewish living, when we're surrounding the Beis HaMikdash and we're relating to HaKadosh Baruch Hu specifically through the Tashalosh Regalim. So if it's true that that's the design of Purim and Hanukkah, so then we really want to know, what are the tools? What are the tools that Chazal are giving us? I know we're supposed to think that we're against Yavan, and we're supposed to know that Yavan is out there with their Hellenistic ideology and so on and so forth, but like, what are we supposed to do? How are we supposed to work it? So in a sense that this whole presentation is a little bit kind of new ground, and inside of that I want to suggest that tonight is going to be radically different. In that, I want to assert that there's a dimension of Hanukkah that's right under our noses, that we all know about, and it's something that is a major theme of Hanukkah, and it's something that we can actually work on. And that, believe it or not, is Ma'ariv. Davening Ma'ariv. And what it means for a Jew to daven Ma'ariv. So let me first set the case. Barry's going to enjoy this one, because this is Barry's kind of work. But let's first put the pieces down there. So first of all, just intuitively, Hanukkah is about what? About light in the middle of darkness, right? So Ma'ariv is the tefillah that we connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu at night, right? And we say Lahagid Baboker Chastecha V'Amonascha V'Leilos. The pasuk says that we relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the morning through His Chesed, to relate to His Chesed and His Amuna, the faith at night. Why faith at night? Because nighttime is a time of vulnerability, and here we talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and we relate to Him at night. when we don't feel and see the brilliant light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we kind of like we're pushing away the darkness through emunah, through faith, but it's a little different than seeing the open chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's nighttime. So we have a sense already that Hanukkah would somehow relate to the Yom Tov, to the Tefillah of Ma'ariv. We have a sense already, but then I want to demonstrate that there's a lot more. First of all, we have the pasuk Ki Eshev B'Choshech Hashem Or Li. David HaMelech says, when I sit in the darkness, Hashem is or for me, right? So it's not only, we could take that pasuk two ways. One way of taking that pasuk is, when I sit in darkness, and I'm therefore enveloped by darkness and fear and insecurity and doubt and all that kind of stuff, Hashem gives me light. Hashem provides me the light. So Hashem is my flashlight or my 60-watt bulb or my whatever it is. Hashem provides light. Or we could say, when is Hashem light for me? Ke'eshev b'choshech Hashem orli. When I sit in the darkness, that's when Hashem is light for me. Which means that sometimes we don't get in touch with the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu until we're sitting in the darkness, until we are totally vulnerable and we're in deep, deep trouble and we have no hope. That's when Hashem is orli. That's when Hashem is light for me. When I'm sitting in lightness, when things seem to be going well, then maybe Hashem isn't so much orli. But when is he? Ki Eshev B'Choshech Hashem orli. So I want to show how that might work over here and why we should work on this. So, for example, we know that Tefillos Avos Tiknum. We know that the Gemara says that the Avos, the forefathers established the various tefillos of Shacharis, Mincha, and Ma'ariv. Avraham established Shacharis, Yitzchak established Mincha, and Yaakov Avinu establishes Ma'ariv. Pull in a chair. Make it so comfortable. So the when we say establish, what do we mean establish? It doesn't mean that Avraham said, hey, it would be a good idea to daven in the morning. It doesn't mean Yitzchak said, it would be a good idea to daven in the afternoon. It means that they developed a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu through a morning modality, right? What's a morning modality? Optimism, beginning of a new day, sunrise, clear sky, the whole thing, whatever it is, a whole day ahead of me, there's so much potential, I can do whatever I want, I can plan it out, I got my BlackBerry with everything, I can make the whole day go the way I want. That's Shacharis, right? That total optimism. Then you have Mincha, the day's already taken a little shape, it's moved on, the sun is starting to set, I'm a little worried, whatever it is, it's not all happening the way I want. You could say it like whatever the mincha modality is, whatever the afternoon modality is. And then you have Ma'ariv, which is a nighttime modality, which means Yaakov Avinu carves out a relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu specifically at night. So we know that that's really true. I mean, that's the pasuk about which Chazal say indicates that Yaakov established tefillah at night. Vayifga b'makom v'yolen sham kivah ha-shemesh. Yaakov Pagaba Makam, he had a pagia, he had an encounter with the place, at the place, in the place. And Chazal say the pagia is one of the terms for tefillah. He davened in the place, kiva hashemesh, because the sun had set. So we know that that means, in a literal sense, Chazal say that the Kadosh Baruch Hu caused the sun to go down so that Yaakov would be stuck there, so that he would have his encounter with the Kadosh Baruch Hu there. But we also see in the pasuk the same thing as we see Ke'eshev B'Choshech Hashem Orli. When I sit in the darkness, that's when Hashem is light for me. Vayifka b'makom, he davened in the place kiva hashemesh, because the sun had set. So he discovers or creates a relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu kiva hashemesh, because the sun had set. He's in deep trouble. He's all alone. He's basically naked and starving. He's cold. He has no support, no allies. He's running away from home. He's going into Golus at the instruction of his mother. He's being chased by Esav, who wants to kill him. And he has no. And he's afraid that he's lost any promises that he received from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? So this is Yaakov Avinu. And that's when he develops a tefillah, so to speak, of Ma'ariv, a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So let's take this further. So we also know that the tefillahs correspond to the karbanos. That Shacharis corresponds to the Karban HaTamid of the morning, HaTamid HaShachar, the eternal daily sacrifice that was offered in the Beis HaMikdash in the morning. Mincha corresponds to the Tamid Shobein HaRabayim, the afternoon, daily, regular, obligatory sacrifice that had to be offered every day in the temple. And then Ma'ariv doesn't correspond to a sacrifice. Ma'ariv corresponds to the Evarim Upadarim, the limbs and the various parts of the sacrifices that had already been put on the altar during the day as part of the obligatory sacrifices. So now they're not fully consumed. So since the Torah said, Eish tamid tukad al hamizbeach lo tichbeh, there shall be an eternal fire. Hi, welcome. Somebody just bring up a chair. Eish tamid tukad al hamizbeach lo tichbeh. So an eternal fire should be kindled on the altar. It shall not be put out. So that means that there had to be something going all the time. So there was always some supply of something ready to keep the fire going. But it was almost never necessary because the evarim v'bedarim of the karbanos, the limbs and other parts of the sacrifices during the day, required the night to be consumed. So all night long the fire was going on the mizbeach, taking care of or consuming the karbanos that had to be burnt that were not yet fully burnt. One way of looking at this, and that's Ma'ariv. So Ma'ariv corresponds to that. It doesn't correspond to a particular sacrifice. One way of looking at that is, perhaps, and I haven't seen this anywhere at all, perhaps we could look at Ma'ariv as the tefillah that corresponds to the consumption on the Mizbeach of unfinished business. In other words, Ma'ariv is, okay, so the day didn't do all that it was intended to do, and here I am at night, and I find myself to some degree not fully connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's the business of Ma'ariv. So it could be that. It could be that. We don't need to say that, but it could be that. We'll develop this a little bit more. So therefore we have Ma'ariv as Yaakov Avinu, and we have Ma'ariv as the Avarim of Bedarim. The fact is that there's a lot of Yaakov in Hanukkah, more than we would expect. First of all, according to, I don't know the exact source, but it is given or assumed that Yaakov Avinu dies on the first day of Sukkos. So there's a Yaakov Nasa Sukkos, so Yaakov traveled to Sukkos, so it's brought down there. I think it might be a Zohar. If it's not a Zohar, please forgive me, but it's definitely an assumed and accepted reality that Yaakov Avinu dies on the first day of Sukkos, on the 15th of Tishrei. Major Tanchuma, thank you very much. Okay, very good. Now, why would I add 70 days to that date? Why would I add 70 days to that date? Because the Torah says that the complete mourning series and the whole funeral procession and the international UN delegation that had to deal with Yaakov Avinu before he's buried, it took 70 days. 70 days after Yaakov dies is Erev Chanukah. So now Yaakov is put in Maris HaMachpelah, literally Erev Chanukah. So we already have this Sukkot Chanukah connection. There are many, many very interesting and fascinating sources. We don't have to go into it all now. It would be a fascinating discussion. But there's a concept that when a tzaddik dies, his kachas hanefesh are available in the world for the taking, so to speak. The day that the tzaddik's neshama is ola, so that's it. It's no longer belonging to the tzaddik, right? The tzaddik is nifter. So now those kochas are available in the world, and there's a certain power or energy, you could say, that's available in the world. Similarly, the day of his kavura, if it's not right away, so the kavura also has the same concept. So here you have Yaakov Avinu dying on Sukkos and being buried on Chanukah. Which says to you that there's still the kachas of Yaakov Avinu and Hanukkah. But there's more. We have other connections between Sukkos and Hanukkah altogether. First of all, the 8 days of Sukkos and the 8 days of Hanukkah, right? Sukkos, which means Yatzeres, and Hanukkah is 8 days. We also have the pasuk Isru Chag Ba'avosim at Karnas HaMizbeach. Tie down the Chag with ropes ad Karnas HaMizbeach. Ad, by the way, is 74. If you count 74 days from the beginning of Sukkot, you're right in the middle of Chanukah. But Karnas HaMizbeach, what is the Chag?
That doesn't work out.
That doesn't?
If it's 70 days from the end of Sukkot.
70 days from the first day of Sukkot. Right. So anyway, so Ad Karnas HaMizbeach, now it's tied down the Chag, Ad Karnas HaMizbeach, to the corners. Chronos are like the rays of light, Karnei Or of Moshe Rabbeinu, Karnas HaMizbeach, the light of the Mizbeach, the corners of the Mizbeach, the light of the Mizbeach, the radiance of the Mizbeach. As we said, Eish Tamid Tukad on the Mizbeach Lo Tichbeh, the eternal fire shall be kindled on the Mizbeach, it shall never go out. Say Chazal that Af Ner Shel Menorah came from the Mizbeach. Right, the Eish Tamid to Kalam Mizbeach is Lahalos Ner Tamid. The same eternal, this Tamid fire of the Menorah, that fire comes from the fire of the Mizbeach. So here we have this connection, so to speak, from Sukkot, Kanas, Yisru Chag B'Vasim, Ad Kanas Mizbeach. The idea being that Chanukah very much picks up on the themes of Sukkot. So you have, for example, the Shalhevis, the torches of the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, and you have that same Eish of the Menorah on Sukkot. We can go on and on. The point, though, is that certainly we have enough Yaakov in Sukkot, in Chanukah, to be able to see the Ma'ariv of Yaakov, so to speak, is very much discoverable or accessible in Chanukah. So let's talk about this for a minute. Let's talk about this Eish. Let's talk about this fire of the Mizbeach, which consumed the Ivarim of Bedarim, which corresponds to Ma'ariv. So Hashem says something very beautiful about fire. There are two dimensions to fire. There's the destructive, consuming power of fire, right, which requires some kind of fuel for that to happen. The fire consumes its fuel, and then there's the warmth and the radiance, the light and the heat of the fire. So in order to have the warmth and the heat of fire, you have to have something to consume. So what's the fuel? So just like that's in the physical universe, we have that as well in the spiritual universe. So if a person wants the passion and the connection and the love and the warmth and the radiance of connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how is he going to have that? How is he going to have the warmth and the heat of the fire and the light of the fire? He's going to have that by providing a wick, and by providing the wood, and by providing the fuel for the fire to have some combustion through. So what's going to be combusted? What's going to be burnt? So the answer is that which would otherwise hold us back from serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu is what's put on the Mizbeach. To put it another way, given the equation that we're making here, the equation of Ma'ariv to the Mizbeach, Ma'ariv is that tefillah which is offered, that connection which is forged with HaKadosh Baruch Hu by a person putting onto the Mizbeach that which would fuel the Eish Tamid, which would fuel the fire which symbolizes the constant passionate connection of Klal Yisrael to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what do we put on the Mizbeach? That which holds us back. Whatever, there are so many different ways. Every person has a different kind of a nighttime, a different kind of a coldness, a different kind of a despair, a different kind of distance from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We say,
L'hagi ba'boker chastecha ba'emunascha ba'leilos. But Ma'ariv is not a time when you're supposed to ask bakashas. It's not a zman of rachamim.
We're not talking about bakashas at all. We'll get there. Let me fear this ice a little bit. We're not talking about asking God for anything. We're talking about being. We're talking about an attitude. We're talking about a whole way of relating to HaKadosh Baruch Hu at night. And we're not even talking about doing it at night. I'm talking about being Ma'ariv of all Chanukah. I'm talking about being Ma'ariv in life. In other words, Chanukah is a Ma'ariv of time, and we'll talk about it. So I don't want to get too literal here, but we could be literal, but just hang loose for a minute. Hang loose. Don't get too literal. I'm pointing out that that which has to be burnt varies from person to person. L'hagi ba'boker chasdecha, ve'emunascha ba'leilos, not ba'layla. It doesn't say lahagi ve'emunascha ba'layla. Ba'leilos, there are different kinds of leilos. Everybody has a different layla. For me, the layla could be I'm lazy. For someone else, the layla could be that I'm obsessed with certain thoughts which are distracting to my avodas Hashem, my service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. For someone else, it could be that I don't find any meaning in davening at all. To yet another person, it could be that Talmud Torah has no meaning. I don't see any relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through learning Torah. Or my study of the Torah is not going well. Or my davening is not going well. I've long ago given up even thinking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu while I'm davening. I daven because I have to, or whatever it is. Or my feeling, just my awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in my life, I don't see Him. I don't see Him in my life. I don't see Him taking care of me. I don't see where the things that I ask Him for are responded to. I'm more interested in physical things. I'd rather eat than daven. I'd rather look at certain things that we're not allowed to look about, or think about certain things that we're not allowed to think about, than immerse myself in the bracha of Shomei Tfila, of asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to listen to my davening. Whatever it is. Everybody has a different form of it. One thing for sure, there is not a human being on the face of the earth who doesn't have a nighttime. Now, sometimes we have summer nights, which are short. Other times we have winter nights, which are long. Sometimes we have cold nights. Sometimes we have warm nights. Everybody has a different kind of a night, but everybody has nights. Every human being is a whole world, and the world includes nighttime. And so, the Ma'ariv relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a relationship in which we would cause a fire to be burnt on the Mizbeach by putting onto the Mizbeach that which would hold us back, whatever it is. So, a Ma'ariv relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I would submit to you, would be a relationship in which we actually revel in the areas that are not working and see them as opportunities for closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what night is. Ki Eisha b'choshech Hashem Orli. When I sit in the darkness, that's when Hashem is light for me. Meaning, I look for the place in my life where there is darkness, and that is where I'm going to have an opportunity to find HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the Ma'ariv. In other words, to daven Ma'ariv is to say that I'm not only going to do what comes naturally, easily to me, I'm actually going to take on, in my relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, areas of my life which are not easy for me, which don't make sense to me, which don't succumb to my natural inclination, to my instincts. And that's where I'm going to find connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's a Ma'ariv. This is exactly what Hanukkah is. Hanukkah is you're going into a long and bitter and endless gullus. And there are many enticing things out there. And there are many ways that you can rationalize your existence. And comes the light of the menorah and says that there's a particular relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu specifically in the midst of all this darkness. So that's Yaakov Avinu. This is what Yaakov Avinu is. He goes into this bitter gullus. And that's where he has a Sula Mutzav Arta. In the middle of this night, when he davens this Ma'ariv, is where he has a ladder on the ground for Rosh Magia Hashemayma, and he's reaching all the way to the heaven. So this is what Klal Yisrael is. This is what our Ma'ariv is. So I would submit that if we're looking for avoda, if we're looking for practical, spiritual challenges to take on Hanukkah, so this can go in so many different ways. That's the beauty of it, is that there is no limit to how many different permutations and combinations of challenges a person can take on in order to discover the light, so to speak, of the menorah. One, daven Ma'ariv. Another one, okay? Daven Ma'ariv. Two, daven Ma'ariv with a minyan, right? Which is not always so easy to do. But take Ma'ariv seriously. I'm talking specifically to men here. Daven Ma'ariv with a minyan. And when one davens Ma'ariv, realize that one is not davening a short chakras. One is davening Ma'ariv. One is relating to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a totally different modality than one is relating to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when one davens chakras. And that's what's called for.
The minyan is plugging along at the same speed every night.
Yeah, that's a big problem.
Which is
problem.
Extremely fast.
That's a big. It is a big problem. But let's openly say, what time is it? I want to make sure I don't overextend. The minyanim are not. Or put it this way: creativity in davening would have to happen, give it unbelievable.
So we have the Ma'ariv that we have.
Right.
And now, put it on the minyan.
Right. So now we got to figure out a way to bring ourselves into Ma'ariv, given that Ma'ariv is going to take exactly the same amount of time every single night for the next 30 years. Right?
What do I do?
Good. We'll talk about that. We could talk about that. You and I should talk about it, if you're interested. But that's one thing. Number two is, daven Ma'ariv with your life. Forget about Ma'ariv. Meaning that besides davening Ma'ariv, this is a whole mode of relating to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is, do not look only to the areas of life which work easily in Avodas Hashem. Actually look for the areas of life which are major challenges, where you think that you have nighttime, where you think that there is no Kadosh Baruch Hu, there's no connection, there's no meaning, there's no nothing, there's no excitement, there's no passion, there's nothing. That's where we burn the fuel. That's where we put something on the Mizbeach and create a warmth and an opportunity of closeness to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, a person has to I'll give you an example. For men, it's, you know, for men, one, in the society that we live in, we have a tremendous problem with looking at things. We have a major, major challenge. So we think that we have to give up because it's overwhelming. It's hopeless. What are we going to do? So we should understand that every moment that a Jew says to himself that I have a neshama, and I have eyes, and I have a mind, and I'm designated to connect with Kadosh Baruch Hu, and this is not what my purpose is. Every moment that a person controls his eyes and his thoughts, those are holy moments, and those create opportunities to connect to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Those create a totally different level. So when we're on Chanukah, and we want to say, what do we do with Chanukah? Well, Chanukah could be a time where we say, it's Chanukah. There's holy light coming into the world. The light of the menorah is an opportunity to bring in the kedusha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the kedusha of the Beis HaKnesses, the kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash, the holiness of the menorah of the Beis HaMikdash itself. So, in honor of that, I'm going to behave for an extra moment like a holy Jew. I'm not going to say it's all hopeless, it's nighttime for me in this area, and therefore I've given up. I'm going to put a limb on the altar and burn it and create some heat, so to speak, create some light in the midst of the darkness. Or, I don't like davening, but I can certainly force myself to think about God for 5 more seconds before I tune out. I can certainly take that on right now, and so on and so forth. I think they're about to daven Meir. So, et cetera, et cetera. So, what I'm suggesting is that Hanukkah is a Meir of Digi Yom Tov, and we can offer ourselves as Meir of to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in zillions of different ways. We can talk about how we can develop Kavanah. That's a major problem.